Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You hardly need, I think, another sermon that ridicules the folly of our modern reliance upon evangelistic technique or outreach style. You already know that the power of God's word to save sinners is no less great when it comes wrapped in a plain white alb than when it arrives bathed in neon over your television set. What you do need is a chance to meditate on St. Peter's reaction to God's word. Peter was frightened by the power of God. When he sees what Jesus has done for him, he doesn't say, "Thank you." He doesn't break out his book of praise songs and start singing, "Our God is an awesome God." He falls down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." How strange is that? Here Jesus superabundantly provides Peter's daily bread, and all Peter can say is, "Lord, just go away." Jesus' power, his divine and holy strength, makes him seem alien, menacing even. Jesus' miracles reveal him as something other, something different. It doesn't matter that Jesus always uses his strength on our behalf. His omnipotence and his righteousness and even the perfect compassion that moves him to serve us makes him foreign to us. When Peter, crouched there in his half-swamped fishing boat, sees both Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish, he identifies more easily with the fish than with Jesus. He sees himself reflected in their scales. Peter is a creature, something Jesus made from dirt. And when his 60 or 70 years are over, he'll go right back to that very same dirt. He feels more akin to creatures than the Creator. Now, lest you think I'm reading too much into Peter's reaction, consider Jesus' response. "Do not be afraid." See, Peter was scared. And how does Jesus comfort Peter? How does he drive the fear from his disciple? He says this: "From now on, you will catch men." Christ has already in mind Cornelius and the jailers and the multitudes on Pentecost and countless others. He's telling Peter that the days in which the only point of contact between God and his people was the distribution of their daily bread are coming to a close. There has already arrived an infinitely more intimate connection. We are no longer meant to recognize ourselves in creatures. We are not mere beasts. Jesus means for Peter to see himself in the person of Christ. He means for us to recognize ourselves in the incarnate Son of God. In his own flesh, Jesus makes the unseen face of God accessible to humans, but he also restores divinity to our own faces. After talking to God, it's Moses' face that shines. Jesus washes away our sins. He removes from us the filth of our own sinful rebellions. He makes us righteous. He proclaims us innocent. He elevates us. He makes us fellows with himself. This is why we delight in the daily recollection of our baptism. At the font, God draws us out of the water and declares us to be not fish for boiling, but sons of God, entitled to a seat at the Lord's own high table. Every day, the old Adam in us is drowned by holy baptism. Every day, holy baptism draws forth a new man. Something similar happens to Peter in the boat. Confronted with the raw power of God, Peter is compressed, forced to his knees. But then that very same power, that self-same grace, draws him up and out and onward. Peter's whole life would change because of that grace. Zealous, fastidious Peter would be changed completely, right down to his diet. Fishermen eat fish. But what do fishers of men eat? Surely they don't live on bread alone. They must, of course, eat flesh and blood. Human flesh and human blood. The body and blood of Christ. Fish is fine for Fridays, fine for Lent, fine for occasions when it's well to remember that of ourselves we are but ashes and dust, but the body of our Lord and the blood of the Lamb are the foods of life. The fish is a symbol. The body and blood of Christ are our salvation. In the part of the Large Catechism that teaches the Our Father, Luther says that we are so perverse as to always dread God and flee him, assuming that he neither cares for us nor is willing to answer our prayers. And it is well for us to remember that. It is well for pastors to remember that. When they consider the weak in their flocks, when they consider those who do not attend church or who attend false churches, people are afraid. Don't rail against them. Have compassion on them. When they don't come to holy confession and absolution, it's because they're afraid of God's power. When they fail to recognize and appreciate the sacrament of the altar, it is because they are afraid of the power there. When they deny baptism for what it is, it's because they're afraid of it. Treat them accordingly. In his mercy, however, God does not let us get away. He catches us in the net woven of his means of grace. We are ensnared by the very sacraments that so terrify us. Peter, who had begged God to go away when he puts ashore, forsakes all to follow him. And by God's grace alone, so do we. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.